Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
142.
142.
Cannot believe we are here still. 142 episodes later.
I know.
Totally can believe it. I'm standing right here.
Who would have thunk it? I didn't think we were going to get...
I have object permanence and all that jazz, so... I remember last week.
I've been talking nonstop today, so I apologize for the lack of motor skills that I have with my mouth. I didn't think we were going to make it past 142 seconds.
No shit. Oh, maybe we'll try to fit it all in a half. Maybe we'll try to get it to a half hour, maybe. Maybe we can get 20 minutes.
No. Maybe we can get it in under an hour, please.
Oh, no joke. So, Scott, how was your week?
Week was, for the first time in a while, pretty low.
Hold on. Someone's telling me to hold the door. Okay, got it. That's a Game of Thrones joke. I haven't seen it, but I know all the jokes.
Oh, I don't. I'm not a joke, staying really, away from it.
Yeah, I haven't.
I'm almost up to watching season 5.
Oh, you're not even at 5 yet?
No.
Oh, wow.
I've got valiantly. I got through 3 episodes last night.
I've got 5 on Blu-ray, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think there's a digital copy too if you're interested.
I have it on the HBO Go. So.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck you. HBO Now or HBO Go?
HBO Go, because I have it with the Comcast Infinity package to upgrade my speed. Actually, to pay less was to include TV, and we're going to give you HBO free for a year or 2 years or something.
But at the cost of your mortal soul.
No. It was less money to do that than it would have been.
No. Your soul is dirty now. You will never get into telecom heaven.
Oh, God. My soul's
been
dirty for a
long time. You made a deal with
Comcast.
Is there a telecom heaven? I don't think so. It's all hell. Yeah. 100%. It's ma hell.
Ma hell. Yeah.
We're the phone company. We don't care because we don't have to. Was that Lily Tomlin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The switchboard operator.
Didn't she do a little like thing?
Had last week set aside for the final push for editing, and then Tony Becerra went and booked himself all week.
Yeah, he does that.
So, which is great for him.
Yeah, good job, Tony.
Not so great for my schedule.
Bad job, Tony.
But we're going to have the last looks edit tomorrow.
Medium job, Tony.
And then the producer's viewing maybe on Thursday.
I will be gone.
I will be gone potentially as well, staying overnight in Spokane, depending upon how my big audition for Z Nation went today. Right. And I have to determine whether or not it is worth carving out another week from my rapidly dwindling calendar to do something.
It's worth it.
And then, let's see, my friends Tom and Jeff... took myself and significant other out for a goodbye dinner, which was very nice. And then I'm not going to go too much into it, but I want to do a little shout out. I took an emergency trip back home this weekend because a friend of mine was not doing very well and tried to get down with another group of people to see him. And unfortunately that did not happen and he passed away quietly in the night, which is, good in that he passed away quietly in the night.
Right.
And I'm keeping it vague because this is a public forum. A lot of people don't know yet, so I'm just going to leave it there. But I am going to say that if you have friends whom you care about, who maybe you've lost touch with, it's your call. I had not been in touch with this person for nearly 2 decades. but other people had and needed some support from people that I was not aware of. But if you have friends with substance abuse problems,
I'm going to have to step out. I'm getting a call.
Okay. Please do yourself and themself a favor and be insistent about having them seek help. A number of people did a number of miraculous and earth-moving things, and the kindness and generosity of some of the people that I grew up with in high school are amazing. And to their best efforts, weren't able to change the outcome. And anyway, it's a long road to get there. They got there. Nobody said anything. So if you see it, say something. You're not going to be a dick, and someone may ultimately thank you for extending their life on this planet.
Yeah.
So, and then I had an audition for Z Nation today.
Good job. Jeez. Wait, this is a comedy podcast.
I recorded 14 chapters of An Open Enemy.
Oh, wow.
For Fantastic Journey Publishing.
This is the sequel to Thine Enemy's Eyes? Is that correct? Or is it a prequel?
It is the sequel. It is the second book in a numerous book series.
Numerous books.
I want to say she just finished writing 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
6 or 7. But I have one of the characters. Actually, it's the same series that Andy and I worked on tirelessly for a while. And then Dropbox ate all the work that we did.
Oh, great. Good. That's that makes me happy. Do we have to do
the
work?
Well, no. I did the narration of the entire book on.
Right.
That's gone.
Chapters. Chapters.
We redid that. Actually, Worky did All Thine Enemy's Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do any voices for that. We did it for an Unpolished Gem, which is the second book. An Open Enemy is the third book.
Okay.
So you and I are voices of characters on the second and third books.
Right.
You will probably continue to be on the subsequent books thereafter.
Right.
I had a couple decent chapters in this one.
Good.
And it was great, and Tanya and I did the whole Skype thing.
Nice.
Which is super great, because she can hear everything that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. No, do that. No, that was great. No, here's my thoughts.
Cool.
And just knock it out of the park. So, and then I went down to Nikkei's and had an audition and came back, finished that. Forgot something down in Tacoma, so I had to drive back, get that, come back. Oh, and my visa came in.
Sweet. What do you mind?
I have it in my hand.
Oh.
For admittance into the UK. Not a visa card. Well. Not a visa black or anything that's, you know, super awesome. But I'd have to pay it back anyway.
Just
if it was
understand.
Someone else's visa.
You're leaving the country.
With my
you don't
name.
Have to pay shit back.
Yeah.
Run, man.
Run.
here's
the funny thing about visas, though.
Okay.
If you look at a passport, it says this passport is good from, let's just say, January 1st, 2013 through December 31st, 2020,
right?
22. Okay. Usually 10 years. Hmm. Well, when I got my visa, I looked at the date, which was good through, as they write it, 20/6/16,
okay,
which is the
June 20th,
through July 20th, 2016.
Oh, shit.
To wit, I pooped my pants.
Yeah,
and
I
went,
pooped them.
I have waited this long for a 1 month stay in the UK. This is some crap. Mm-hmm. Now what? Then you read the accompanying little letter in damn near legal print,
mm-hmm,
that says, oh, by the way, you have 30 days to enter our wonderful country. Once you enter the country, you have 10 days to go to Dingle or Digil or Diggy or whatever the post office.
I thought it was Dingle.
Dingle, which happens to be the nearest place to pick up your biometric information.
Mm.
In Liverpool, as they say, Liverpool. People think it's Liverpool, but it's Liverpool. And then apparently,
Liverpool.
That's when you find out how long you actually,
oh dear Gord,
are allowed. So
good luck.
I got 30 days to get in. Who knows how long it is till I got to get out?
Q. Okay.
But yeah, that was a little scary. Authorized from month to month.
Yeah.
Do I have to do this every month?
Maybe they'll build a wall and you can't get in.
Maybe.
A no-flyover wall.
A no-flyover wall. Bullet train just...
Except in Ireland where everyone's crawling, so it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You can build a one-foot wall in Ireland, it'll take care of everything.
I thought they were drinking
They're not
instead
really
of crawling, but...
No. Well, that'd be... You drink... Never mind, dude.
Right. How's your week?
Oh, God. All right. So, this is kind of my last week at Amazon. I do go back on Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend to finish out the month.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can finish out the pay period.
Yep.
So, on...
You doing nothing? Paper football? Airplanes?
A little bit. I'm doing a little bit of testing and stuff. Ah. They don't deserve it. But I am. So I wrote, like, today I drafted my draft of my exit email. We'll see if it gets accepted. I thought it was pretty funny, which means it probably won't.
What?
Yeah, you draft your exit email. It's like, hey, guys, I had a great time. See you this summer. No, wait. It's not like that at all. No, it's like you draft this thing. It's like, hey, I'm going to be leaving Amazon because you guys are great and I'm going to miss you, blah, 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 blah. So instead, mine's like, hey, here are the social media things to watch me fail. So please follow them if you want. If you're into Schadenfreude as a commodity, tune in and watch me nosedive into obscurity.
Wow. I mean, I usually am not allowed within half a mile of my computer when I am let go.
This is a layoff, not a firing. So,
what are you saying, Andy?
Nothing.
I've never been.
Yeah, I also didn't get kicked out for pictures on my hard drive.
Alleged pictures on my alleged hard drive.
In fairness, it was your sheep.
It was.
So there you go.
And therefore, sheep are property.
Mm-hmm. That legally.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm able to do with you as I
Vegans,
wish.
Vegans, run for office if you want to change it. Run for office.
Yeah.
Where do you get your proteins? Votes, motherfucker. No, that's not true. Beans.
Beans.
So, they did that today. I'm trying to get the voice reel out. So, I've had one agent contact me, but I would like to try to get a what's called a first call agency for VO work,
mm-hmm.
where they always go to like a Topo Swope or an Actors Group
mm-hmm.
First. So I was very honest with the person who contacted me back. You are very well aware of who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But very honest about, I want to make this the best foot forward I can. And she was very understanding, but
yep.
totally open to if that doesn't work out, me going there. So
cool.
Yeah, should be awesome.
Actors Group is actually a first call for voiceover.
It is the primary first call for Vancouver voiceover in Seattle.
Really?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. Found this all out at Connor Marks' birthday party, which I went to yesterday. And then, of course, Wednesday, and I believe you're going to this too, mm-hmm. we're going to go see if there's a Hell Below.
Yep. My entire Acting for Actors class will be there. All three of us.
Hopefully, we'll have a review of that for you next week.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did I do? Not much, man. Just trying to get through. My little rant about Amazon Video mm-hmm. has not abated. It's still a pain in the ass to use.
Mm-hmm.
Internally, I had to file tickets or we would have been screwed. And I don't think it would have ever been fixed if we were an external entity. If I hadn't had the ability to file internal Amazon trouble tickets, I think we'd still be having the problems.
Wow.
Part of the problem is nobody knows how to subtitle except for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the subtitles are incorrectly formatted. And they got uploaded anyway. This is all for glitch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They got uploaded anyway, and Japan would not process. All the other ones just bailed out on a technical...
Right.
Like, immediately. They're like, oh, technical error, technical error, technical error. Japan was like, meep. I think it probably just got hung, like one of the processes got hung, and they didn't mm-hmm. recover very well.
Mm.
So now, the trailer... This was for the trailer, because you have to have subtitles for a fucking trailer.
Wow.
So this is for the trailer. It is now in process, and it should be complete. Episodes 1 through 4 and 6 are complete for subtitling.
Good.
But I had to explain to the people who were subtitling 1, 2, 3, and 4 that, hey, you can't go over 90 characters total, and you can't go over two lines, and you can't go over 45 characters per line. Because that will cause subtitling to kick out, because subtitling, well, they're using it as closed captioning.
Mm-hmm.
Closed captioning is based on the old CRT
sizes,
which was 40 characters. Give or take, because periods, they weren't monotype.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you did three periods in a row, that was like 1.5 characters worth of space.
Right.
So you can, it's not an exact number, but it's pretty close. So just if you go over 45 characters, you probably fucked it up. So did that this weekend. Six was a lot of fun to subtitle because Tyler writes very dense dialogue and a mm-hmm. lot of crosstalk dialogue.
Yeah.
Which doesn't subtitle well.
No.
You can do burn-in subtitles where you're physically going in and adding the subtitles and putting them on the, you know, because then you can move them around next to the people that are saying them. But actual across the bottom of the screen generated titles are very hard to express multiple people talking.
And they won't allow you to do burn-in as the requisite. You have to have an SRT
file. You have to have an SRT. Even if you have burn-in and it's the exact same file, you have to have SRT because of Americans with Disabilities.
Mm.
The Americans with Disabilities Act
mm-hmm.
requires closed captioning on their service, which again, YouTube gets around it by saying, hey, we allow auto captioning. They do not. Not only do they do not, if you take the auto caption file, they will reject it because it doesn't match for quality.
Hmm.
So a lot of fun.
Interesting.
Let's see what other companies fucked me over this week. So I've had a OneNote problem on my phone for a while,
mm-hmm.
where if I try to launch OneNote, it gives a something went wrong, which yep. is a nice definitive answer.
Yeah.
0x8007005. Looked that up. Nothing. Like a few things, but not a lot. Contacted support. I figured OneNote support. Contacted OneNote support. No. So I was on chat with them for about 25 minutes. They're like, no, you have to contact Windows Phone Support. I'm like, okay, is there a chat for them? No. No, there's not. It's a phone call. Here's the phone number.
Yeah.
You realize I'm on a phone that I'm trying to troubleshoot, and you're giving me a phone number to call support for a phone that I am troubleshooting.
Yep.
Are you all right? No, you're not stupid.
Use your landline, sir.
What's a landline, sir? What is land? I could be on a plane. You don't know. So, call the phone number. Thank you for calling Microsoft Mac Support. This was supposed to be OneNote support. No, sir, this is Mac support. Are you using OneNote on Mac? No, I'm using it on a Windows phone. Oh, Windows phone? You should just chat with the Office 365 support. Well, that's where I was on OneNote support with 365. Oh, yeah, they should be able to take care of you. No, they forward me here. Can you give me the back and forth? Anyway, while I was on the phone, found a Reddit thread. The Reddit thread is race the fucking modal dialogue as fast as you can. Go in. The problem is your account credentials are corrupt. There's no way to get to it if that modal dialogue is popped, and it continues to pop over and over and over again. So it's just a bug. It's bad design.
What's a modal dialogue?
A modal dialogue is a dialogue that nothing can be interacted with behind it
mm-hmm.
while it's active.
Mm-hmm.
And because it pops up immediately, it essentially locks the app because it says something went wrong. Okay, something went wrong. Okay, something went wrong.
Oh.
It just keeps popping up. So you can't.
Oh,
interrupt.
The. Okay.
Yeah, you
the
can't.
The modal warning that. Okay.
Right. So you have to race it by clicking OK and quickly clicking the drop down and hoping it doesn't pop up again because it will. And every landing screen between you and getting it pops up again.
Oh,
so
my God.
It took me forever to finally get there, and I have LastPass.
Worst video game ever.
Which means I have multi-factor authentication as uh-huh. well. Well, that doesn't mean that, but I have multi-factor authentication and LastPass. So I have a really, really gnarly, huge password that is not pronounceable or rememberable, and I have to get a text and okay it. Anyway, I finally got through it, and it works fine now, and Microsoft's just like, well, it did. So, of course, I was very honest when they sent me the customer survey.
Mm-hmm.
Hire fucking testers.
Yeah.
If you are a tech company owner, a tech company recruiter, or if you in any way work with a tech company, please tell your boss, tell the owner, tell the manager, tell anybody, hire back your fucking testers.
Please.
This is getting goddamn ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I am so sick of being a paid beta customer everywhere. Everywhere. It's not just Microsoft.
No, not anymore.
Apple, paid beta.
Yep.
Google's the only place where that's just, it's free beta. You're still beta, but it's free mostly, except for ads.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my favorite was the new Fast Ring on the Windows phone.
Oh, God.
Auto-updated.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't tell me. Just says, hey, your phone's going to be restarted. We've got updates. You want to restart it now?
Sorry.
Well, I'm not in the middle of anything. Let's do that. Gears for half an hour.
Yeah.
Shuts down, comes on, get the little Microsoft, lovely new window logo.
And then you get the 20,
bounce down,
20 fucking.
Then you get the blue,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't go away for 2 hours.
So what they did, I know why. Normally, you would get a screen that would pop up with a small line moving across that has 20 some odd updates
Has
to apply. They're hiding it, which is stupid. Because as long as you can see process, you believe it's proceeding.
Right.
I'm guessing it's a bug where it didn't show the page correctly, but that's fucking stupid.
No, I went on Windows Central. It's a bug, period. They say, be patient, it'll take 20 to 30 minutes, but a 2 hour hang is outside of the scope.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just hangs on something. So then you have to do a hard reset, let it go through, then it will finish the install. But that happened twice.
Of course it did.
One was sitting there overnight.
Yeah. Well, Aaron is getting sick of not being able to get any apps because with Windows Phone 8.1, they're starting to pull support.
Oh,
so
yeah, of course.
Apps are no longer working.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, certain apps you can no longer sign into. So she and AT&T is holding Windows 10 hostage.
Yes.
The Lumia 1520, which is what she has, you can install Windows 10 on it anywhere else in the world except for AT&T.
Can't you get it unlocked now?
The unlock doesn't matter. It's still branded. The branding is what matters.
Oh, okay.
So AT&T has to give approval for AT&T branded phones, even if they're unlocked, which is stupid.
Yeah.
Now, once she's on Windows 10, that's not the case. It's
right.
Only for Windows 8X. So we installed the technical preview.
Mm-hmm.
Worked like a charm, finally. Took us forever, but it worked like a charm. And now she is back to, she's got Windows 10 on her phone and is really liking it. It is far more stable on her phone than it is on ours.
Oh, I'm sure
her phone that's not designed for Windows 10.
Yeah.
That they were just like, yeah, it'll work. Put it on there. Much more stable than our 950s designed for Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
Designed to flip the fuck out, apparently, every couple of days and just put in a bunch of fucking inputs. Make your screen go all crazy and move and send pictures of your dingleberries to people accidentally. Sorry, Grandma.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're getting texts anyway. But.
And then Skype today, trying to do it, it was like, yep, you missed a call. I'm like, okay, click.
Oh, it was sucking. Everything
was done. No, I couldn't access anything. Mm-hmm. Tried it on the computer. It was saying that her video was down. Or she had a not the same version that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And suggesting that she upgrade. Finally, I just signed out on my phone, signed back in. Boop. Everything's there.
Of course it did. Of course.
So it's all this handshaky shit.
Yeah.
And the reason Aaron's phone works is because all the extra bullshit that they put in here to make work on 10 isn't on hers. And so the actual OS
is fine.
Of just, hey, we made this super slick. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the bells and whistles that I don't really need. Like, hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she doesn't get hello because the front camera is not high enough res. Nobody cares because nobody uses that anyway.
No.
It's a battery sucking pile of shit.
Yes.
Also, it can lock your phone. So, I mean, biometrics
are
great.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah, biometrics are great and all, but first of all, they've been proven to be very, very hackable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, supposedly on the phone, it's actual iris recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's the case, but if it's very hackable. But most other biometrics we found to be super hackable. There is a situation at a Microsoft facility that I won't tell you about where a person I know who worked there was showing off how awesome their biometric scanners were to a group of investors from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, and he puts his hand on it and it goes green and lets him in. He's like, cool, you try it. Guy puts his hand on it, goes green, scans in as the same guy. Says it's the guy that, so like.
Nice.
Yeah, like right there out of the gate. It was, biometric is dangerous. It's too new. I mean, don't get me wrong. Passwords are stupid. Username and passwords are stupid. We are far, far beyond that being secure. But biometrics just aren't there yet.
No.
Right now, I think the safest thing is probably physical dongles, like either a smart card or something along those lines. Those are great. If what I would like is for my phone to, if I could just wear, well, I don't want to get to the point where I'm implanting shit in my skin.
Right.
But in my hand, if I'm holding the phone and it can NFC to a biometric, or not a biometric, but an encrypted chip that no one else can get, that's much better. It's much safer. It's not necessarily foolproof.
It's on my watch fob in my pants or
it's
whatever.
It's not necessarily foolproof, but you don't hear about a lot of BMWs getting stolen, and that's what they use.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of Hondas getting stolen. They don't use that.
Nope.
So, yeah, maybe it's not so safe.
Hmm.
The problem is one person gets hacked, all of a sudden it's confirmation bias and people don't trust anything.
Right.
It's like the self-driving car, the Google car. One wreck. Someone has one wreck, nobody's ever going to trust it, even though humans have 35,000 wrecks a day.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
35,000 wrecks a day in the U.S., human error. The Google cars have had like three, two of which have been human caused.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was quite interesting. It was the car made the right choice. It just didn't make a human choice because it made a non-emotional choice.
Right.
And put the car in danger, whereas a human would have let the bus be in danger, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, it's a very interesting setup. And they're right now, by the numbers, much safer than human-driven cars. But confirmation bias tells us that the second one has an accident, everyone's going to believe they're death traps.
Yeah.
Seven is the total number of reported. By the way, zero were confirmed real. Seven is the number of Tylenol bottles tampered with.
Right.
Back in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire nation now has to fucking get a pair of keys to open their goddamn headache medicine.
Or ketchup.
Or
maple syrup. Or anything that's purchased in the store that's already boxed
because
and hermetically
sealed.
Because
it's all dangerous.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. What that sealing did do is it got people interested in preventing rot. So now you can have a bottle on your of ketchup on your pantry shelf for like months.
Yes.
Whereas before, because that shit was just loosely sealed and had a little pop up maybe. But, you know, it's people are paranoid as shit about the wrong things.
Yeah. But you can still get a metal pickle.
Yeah.
Bink.
Fewer than 3,000 people died in terrorist attacks on U.S. soil, but I'm taking my shoes off every fucking flight.
Yeah.
Zero have died from shoe bombs, by the way.
Exactly. And how many shoe bombs have there been?
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the best part about all that is, I don't like doing Homeland Security threatening stuff because we're not threatening anybody. But the truth of the matter is the laptop you're holding on your lap has more explosive power in that battery than anyone could fit in their shoe.
Yep.
And you can take it. You're legally allowed to take it. Nobody is safer because of this. TSA
can't have a knife, but you could take in a 14-inch laptop, break the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a shiv.
Oh, dude, the laptops are full of deadly shit.
Yeah.
I mean, God, you could just go in there and like get a virus and actually install Linux on everyone's machines.
What?
No, but I mean, seriously, you take a laptop on board. You have a mobile wireless hotspot that you can use to try and access other. I mean, it's ridiculous, the kind of stuff you can do with a laptop. But we have to take off our shoes because a guy was like, I'm going to light my shoes on fire.
Just ask the guys in prison how deadly a toothbrush could be.
Yeah.
It's not just for plaque anymore.
No. It does get rid of unwanted stains. unwanted clingers on. It gets rid of a lot of unwanted things.
Unwanted gunk.
Unwanted gunk. Gingivitis.
Oh, that hurt. I think you just shivved me with humor.
No, it wasn't funny. That was not funny at all. So there's my like little rant about the world. It's all fucked up.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not even talk about politics, because seriously.
No. Oh my God. Let's not. I'd like to be a politic-free zone.
Yeah. You'd like to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Without chewing on your own bile.
Yeah, preferably.
I guess gargling on your own bile? No, you probably depends have pretty chewy
how,
bile.
Depends yeah. upon how you do it.
Yeah.
Depends upon the source. So...
Yeah.
30 minutes. Jump into questions.
Let's get into questions.
Because we've got multiple questions.
Good.
And some other questions.
Let's
so
do the questions.
I'm just going to kind of go in, I guess it's correct order. Rob McLennan writes in and says, so it seems that J.J. Abrams and Justin Lin have announced that the CBS Paramount lawsuit against the heavily crowdfunded fan film Star Trek Axanar will soon be dropped. If that is the case, is this good for the industry, or is this the beginning of the end?
There is no such thing as a beginning of the end for Star Trek. Star Trek will survive in some fashion forward moving. Or does he mean the beginning of the end for
film industry?
Film industry? No.
And indie people going, A, I need to know why the lawsuit is being dropped. Is it peer pressure and Paramount's just going, okay, fine, and
well,
stepping back?
B, I want to hear it from a lawyer, not J.J. Abrams.
True. Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot of that. We've had a lot of, like, I mean, how long was Ghostbusters 3 in production? Because people, stars kept saying, hey, yeah, no, we're doing it. And then Bill Murray'd be like, oh, we're doing it. And then he'd be like, no, we're not. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, maybe we are. Nope, we're not. We're making the video game, and that's good enough. And I'll come back if I'm dead, and I'm a ghost, and blah, 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 blah. Sorry, Jay Leno. And ultimately, you know, you had Aykroyd saying, yes, it's absolutely happening. Ramis was like, it's filming in 2012. We're doing this.
Yep.
Until someone who actually controls that information for real says it is not real.
Nope. But if it were.
If it were.
And were it, if it is because.
Should it be.
There was a groundswell of outpouring support.
So kind of how Deadpool got made.
Sure.
Because that little snippet got leaked and then the internet went. What's the word? Batshit fucking psycho over it.
And, oh, I knew
yeah,
nothing about it.
That's literally how Deadpool got greenlit. Oh,
okay.
Is the internet was so crazy over the test footage that they're like, okay, we have to do it. So maybe Axanar is like that. Maybe it's like, oh, the internet's so batshit crazy, they're going to stab us. They're going to not watch anything else we do, which is the scariest thing for a massive media conglomerate is, oh my God, no one's watching.
Yeah.
So take that to heart next time you decide to go see fucking Pixels 2.
I don't think that it's necessarily good for the industry, nor is it the beginning of the end. I think that the power of people and voices being heard and recognized is a good thing. I think a lot of times it's... And, okay, I'm going to get a bunch of flack about this. Brown coats, just stop.
No, for real, just stop.
Firefly's not coming back.
It's not, and it should.
Serenity happened. No. And it's well beyond its
The characters
its time.
Could come back in a different way. That's a thing, maybe. But
that,
it doesn't
but that's
have
why
to.
You've got the comic book. That's
yeah,
why
you've
got the
comic
game.
Book,
you've got
exactly.
many other things that these actors are moving on in their lives. The actors
Deadpool.
Are not the characters. They're, you know, something
one of them
different.
Is, but that's, you know.
Yeah, but...
I mean, he has put on that coat in every show he's done since.
Sure.
On purpose.
Right. So. And that's, to me, that's the thing. It's on purpose. It's a nod to fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully now written into his contracts forever and ever, amen, no matter what he does. I'm going to play a nun and wear my brown coat. But I think that it's good, and at the same time, it will be what it will be. Mm-hmm. There will be a lot of outcry for, I mean, at the same scale as Firefly Serenity, mm-hmm. I believe I can safely say Veronica Mars mm-hmm. kickstarted a multi-million dollar thing and made a movie and total shite.
So here's one thing I also want to bring up. I don't necessarily think this is about the industry. Mm-hmm. I think this is about Star Trek.
Yes, the property.
There's a very, very big difference between Star Trek films and the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
We can go into a bunch of stuff on it, but we don't need to. Basically, Star Trek isn't the same as, like, this isn't the beginning of the end for the industry, because this is really only applicable to that property. Star Wars will very, very infrequently greenlight fan projects.
Mm-hmm.
They'll very more now with Disney, though, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But they'll infrequently greenlight fan projects. They hold it pretty close to the chest. Star Trek has been much more, frankly, Star Trek about it. They have been okay with people making Star Trek fan stuff. In fact, it's built into one of their, like, you can find a lot of stuff on this, but it's built into one of the verbiage chunks on CBS Paramount's website
mm-hmm.
that talks about how fan stuff works. Axanar was a little different because they were making money off of this.
Right.
You know, this is beyond them producing it. They will sell DVDs. They will sell Blu-rays. At that point, they have a right to come in and say, okay, now you're making money off the IP. Please pay us.
Yeah, licensing fee. That's fair.
And that's fine, too. And they could have started with that.
Mm-hmm.
They could have led with, hey, we saw your film. We think it's going to make money because we saw how high quality it is. And it is. It's very high quality for a fan film.
Mm-hmm.
What I think Paramount should have done, which would have changed the industry, frankly, is stepped in and provided production guidance.
Yeah.
That would have been incredible. Because, you know, it's like, raise your money. We are now licensing the property to you for this one thing. We've looked at it. It's gone through all of the gauntlet. You will have creative control, but we will get part of the money, and we have veto power, stuff like that. They could have gone through and done all that, and it would have been, that would have been industry destroying.
Yeah.
Because what that is what they're missing right now. So you have a lot of these big studios, and they're going, oh, let's do stuff on YouTube. Let's do stuff on blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What's missing is, let's enable the fans to do stuff on YouTube, but give us a cut. Now we get into that weird Fine Brothers thing, though. Except for the Fine Brothers aren't fucking Star Trek. They don't own Star Trek. The Fine Brothers owning reaction videos, or trying to, you know, trademark react, blah, 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 reacts.
Mm-hmm.
That's completely different than Paramount basically licensing fan Star Wars for profits, not for so
right.
Again, that would be the big difference, is it doesn't, the Fine Brothers didn't care. Well, no, I think theirs were profits too, but they aren't film. They aren't Star Trek. So
no,
I'm not,
and they don't
about,
understand that yeah. medium. I mean, they right, understand
no, CBS,
big
no.
budget
exactly.
films. CBS, ABC, HBO.
Mm. Well, I'm talking CBS for Star Trek, but
any industry does not understand YouTube. It is
right.
completely foreign to them.
Right.
And so let the fans who do understand it,
right.
whom you can green light, say yes to, say no to,
mm-hmm.
and as long as you're saying yes to some good stuff, mm-hmm. and maybe yes to some not
okay
so good stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be seen as, well, at least they're saying yes to some of this.
Right.
As opposed to saying yes to only a Thomas Jane short about Castle.
Well, and I don't know who said yes to that or who greenlit that. I don't know if that was even greenlit. It was produced. It didn't make any money
right.
directly.
It
might make ad revenue, but it's not making money directly.
Right, but if you're greenlighting those types of things as opposed to greenlighting us to do something,
yeah,
then you're going to be seen as, oh, you're just greenlighting insider stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you just open it
it's
up
like
to
Zach
everybody.
Braff on Kickstarter.
Oh, don't get me started.
Okay, let's move on.
Paula Moran writes, have you ever played in an email or play-by-post game?
Nope.
If so, what did you think, and any interesting stories?
Oh, no, I haven't. I've never done a play-by-post anything.
I
words by post doesn't count. That's online.
Right. I did a game way back in the Wayback Machine, probably early 90s, mm-hmm. when the BBS boards were big.
Oh, wow.
That would be bulletin board service for those of you playing at home. Pre-chat.
Or system. Renegade called it a bulletin board system.
Okay. I cannot tell you anything about it because it was the early 90s, and I don't remember much. For age appropriate reasons, I don't remember much of the early 90s.
Yeah.
But I do remember BBSs and playing some of those games where it's like, I think I may have even played chess, text-based chess, over a back and forth non-live.
Yeah. See, I still don't make count a move. That, though. I don't count that. It's not, I'm talking, this is, what she's talking about is like chess by mail, where you...
Right, that's what I'm talking about. On a bulletin board service, I have to hit send, and I got to wait a while.
Still electronic. If the guy's sitting over there, it's instant.
Email's electronic.
Oh, I didn't.
Play by post.
Oh, email. I didn't see email. All right.
Play by post meaning.
Ah, no, no, no.
Not
no,
mail.
No, motherfucker.
Not
no.
Mail. Play by post game.
Play by fucking post get. Are you serious? play by old school Y modem. All right, no, it counts. It counts. You don't have to point anymore. I'm gonna give it to you.
I'm just saying.
I'm gonna give it to you, but she means the postal service. But that's fine.
Okay.
Post actions. We'll go ahead and give you post.
I've never heard of the postal thing games.
I've never heard of the post.
I mean, I've heard of the post office. They started with ponies and then went to email.
You've never heard of chess by mail?
No.
Oh, you can actually play D&D by mail. I'm not kidding. People
do. That just hurts my head to even think about.
It's bad. But I'll give it to you because she does say email, and post is a valid. That's a valid way to push information to a server. So yeah, you get it. Good job.
Okay, thanks. It took me a while on the get, and then I was like, oh yeah, okay, Pearl. James Peters says questions outside of words by post.
Ooh.
At which Andy has been kicking my ass. If only there were a Japanese version.
It's okay. You should play Mike Ott because I'm pretty sure he just has a Scrabble word finder opened up all the time. Because he's posting shit that I know for a fact ain't in his vocabulary. I love you, Mike. But come on. I know.
Google search these letters. Find a word.
It's fine. I mean, it's online. I can't like check it or anything. I have not been using it though. Mike, if you're listening, I have not been using it. So while I do believe amoebe, which is the plural of amoeba, I believe you probably got that one. Gonna call shenanigans on a couple of the other ones you got. I don't have them on me, but one of them was like an obscure or. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Play by fairness. Do the two bards enjoy any other multiplayer online games?
Used to WoW quite a bit. No longer WoW. WoW has lost its wow.
No, never wowed. Torchlight could be online multiplayer, but I've never played it that way. It's always been standalone.
I don't think it is online multiplayer.
Okay.
I
played once Unreal Tournament.
Oh, my.
Which was, yeah, that's how far back I go. But I have not... And I have played in small, not online, but a small enclave of locally networked servers for Halo.
Of course, yeah.
But I can't play those games because I'm the guy everyone just gets their body count up on.
Right.
I respawn. Where am I? I need to pull out my... You've been killed.
Yeah.
Respawn. No. It's hard enough for me to play... just by myself on these games and not get my ass kicked by the computer.
Right.
I don't need other guys who play 24/7 to be kicking my ass.
Oh, and it's terrible. So I played StarCraft for about 3 minutes until Korea declared war on me. I did play Worms and Warcraft online quite a bit and actually enjoyed those a lot. I used to play Counter-Strike for a minute, and by a minute I mean about a minute. Again, you just get your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
It's like not even fun at all. And it's not a matter of skill. It's just never fun. You never have enough fun to actually learn how to play it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go feel stressed and like I know people are adrenaline junkies and like that shit, but they don't like actually going outside, and that's where computer games come from. I don't get any of that feeling from that. It is not enjoyable for me.
If you could find a way to make Monkey Island multiplayer, I'm in.
Oh, where, yeah, where, that know, would be cool.
Story-based shit or anything collective. Like that. Collective. Like, puzzles, like Escape the Room. If you could make a collective Escape the Room thing, great, I'm in. That's why I like Words by Post. It's just sitting there with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Scrabble Word Finder. My God. And don't even try. I have a list. I'll post it. I know, buddy. It's okay. It's all right. You can keep doing it. But I'm just saying, don't even try to say you're not. I'm giving you permission to continue. Don't try to say you're not. Anyway. Yeah, so, like, it's just... First-person shooters especially do not hold any sway over me. I don't find them enjoyable.
Even as a standalone,
to be honest. Like
Doom is fun. Doom's Half-Life was fun.
Well, the new Doom is actually very fun, too, because it's very much like the old Doom. And the campaign's where it's at. I might give that a try.
Mm-hmm.
I like third-person a lot, like the Batman games where you're flipping around. And so I thought I'd like Dark Souls. Oh, I was naive. I was naive and I had a credit card.
Have you gotten past the...
Well, I haven't played since. Again, it's not enjoyable for me to have the difficulty so high. Yeah. You know, it's like someone's like, well, your problem is you're treating it like another game. I'm like, that's okay.
Right.
There's no tutorial. There's no tutorial, so I'm going to use the stuff. He's like, no, you got to get right in. What was his actual statement was, you got to get in on the guy's nuts and just hug him. So apparently... Because I'm trying to avoid run in... That is completely wrong. You need to roll into him and then strafe around him and hit him while he's lumbering about and be really close and be like can opening his jock strap.
Yeah. That'd get me to stop. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially because it's full of black sentient ooze.
Yes.
Seems like a time to maybe not touch the jock strap.
Yeah. And Quake. I did play Quake for a while. My buddy had figured out a really cool thing in one of the multiplayer rooms where he could go somewhere, jump, use the rocket-propelled launcher.
Jump. Yeah, you could rocket jump.
Rocket jump up to this, like, stalagmite.
Mm-hmm.
Or stalactite. I can't remember.
Stalactites hold tight to the ceiling. Stalagmites might make it someday. So stalactite.
Okay, so holding on to a stalactite. And then he just... Because no one would ever look up that high. Right. And he'd just sit there and pick everybody off and camp out. And it was like, okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But then, what do?
Yeah, exactly.
You just sit up there, pick people off forever, and that's not any fun either.
Right.
So, it's kind of like when I used to go skiing. We go up the chairlift, and you see someone struggling down the mountain. And just yell, bang. Nine times out of ten, they fall over, and you just feel like it's a big video game.
Not cool.
Going up the chairlift, bang, bang. Oh, look, everybody's falling down. What are your least favorite airports?
All of them.
Chicago O'Hare.
Dulles. Not Dallas.
Dulles. So in
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., yeah.
Don't like it because you have to get into a giant moving room that smells like piss that goes very slowly. It's like a shuttle, but it's a huge room.
Oh, right.
It's weird. It's like the whole room is just smells like piss, screaming kids everywhere. Fucking just terrible, terrible experience. And for those of you who don't know, Washington, D.C. is hot in the summertime. It's a warm, muggy place.
And hot and humid.
All those politicians blowing out the warm, humid air, I guess. I don't know. It fucking sucks. So that's definitely my least favorite, though. I don't know, man. We've been through a few that have sucked.
Buffalo was nice.
It was just empty. That was great.
O'Hare has gotten better on the flights that I've done.
It's so much input. It's so fucking just kinetic. Everything's always moving.
Well, it's so long, and invariably you arrive at one end. Mm-hmm. Of the airport and have 20 minutes to get to the other end, and that includes pulling baggage.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
James, why don't you tell us about the Tokyo airport? I'd love to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to know what a $15 hot dog tastes like. Tell me.
Go to Safeco Field.
I want to know what a Japanese $20 or $50 hot dog tastes like.
The other one that I did not like was Dallas. No, Denver.
Denver?
Because well, that's I scary. Think they allowed smoking.
They wouldn't have
in been... the bar.
Oh, maybe. I don't think that... Because, like, Oklahoma, if you fly into Oklahoma, they're smoking everywhere in there.
Yeah. And this was... this was for the... It was either for Gen Con or it was for Natural One. I can't remember. But for some reason, and we had, like, a two-hour layover, and it's like, okay, let's go get a $15
hot dog.
Shot of beer. And, you know, we could... Oh my God! It was like a fishbowl of smoke,
and you smelled so bad on the plane, which is a terrible place.
It was
to
just
smell
it was so nauseating.
Yeah,
I mean, my choice to go in there never will again because I'm not smoking anymore. But it was just a really that set off my entire experience.
I liked Phoenix. That was actually a really cool airport.
Yes,
that's where we separated. That's where we parted ways from the Wheaton. Who was on our flight.
Yep.
Whichever one that we got stuck at for like an extra 6 hours overnight, that one sucked. I don't remember because we had so many. That was the least direct flight I've ever taken. We flew from like, we flew from New York. Oh, no, I'm sorry. At that point, we flew from Chicago. Where were we flying from out of Duluth?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Okay, so we flew out of Minneapolis into Arizona. Back to Texas.
Yeah.
Then home. And so I guess it would have been Texas is where it was a 6 hour. Our plane kept falling apart, apparently.
It was awful.
It fucking sucked.
I've sat on the tarmac on Maui.
Just so someone...
For an hour and a half.
Just so someone could get miles.
Where no one...
Not kidding.
Can get... You can't turn the air on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just in a cigar tube baking on a black tarmac in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
With zero... Well, we're just about to... Well, folks, it's going to be another couple minutes. They've
the tower
to offload the gas and... Or the fuel, sorry. And then we got to taxi over here and they got to put the fuel back in. And then we can... Oh, just fucking drive already.
Plane. Yeah, fucking put it in the water and just go.
We'll paddle. We've got windows. Knock them out.
Yeah.
We got
Spokane International Airport's a trip.
I love it.
It's a trip.
I land, walk through, come out. There's cars. It's flat. It's small. I know exactly
where
I'm going.
Ski jumps off of it? What's up with the roof?
Oh, snow.
No. That holds it in. That is a stylistic choice. I think Nike had fucking stock. Seriously, Spokane International Airport, and it's been a long time since I've flown into Spokane International Airport. We're talking 1996 was the last time. So maybe it's changed.
Maybe it's changed.
What's the old, is it Brian Reagan that did the joke? I forget which one's, but he's like did the joke about it. It's called the Spokane International Airport. They named it after the International House of Pancakes. They have one international flight to BC.
Yeah.
So... Well, they might have more now. Probably not. You probably fly to Seattle or San Francisco.
Maybe Portland.
Maybe Portland. So, anyway, airports suck.
Yes. What power would you give your arch nemesis?
The power to hear every thought of every living creature on the planet and nothing else. So no extra processing power, no ability to tune it out, none of that. Just to hear it. That's the power... So constant cacophony of every single thought on every single thought, sentient or not, like like
worms.
What's going through a frog's head?
Yep.
Every single one, 24/7. I think as an arch nemesis goes, that guy'd probably be pretty easy to take care of after that.
I was just going to give him the power of always being defeated by me.
It's a good power.
And me not having to do a whole lot. So, in any way I wanted to defeat him, whether it was...
Whew, right.
He would have to fall down and be defeated.
That's good. That's pretty good.
But I'm liking yours now because it's passive-aggressive enough.
Oh, it's so cruel.
And as always, looking forward to the podcast!
Yay!
Which...
Yeah, and you would kill me. Now. In a Japanese Words with Friends, dude. You would destroy me.
Oh, me too. I'd have to play Mahjong, even Japanese.
I don't have the G-Con for Kanji, man. I think G-Con means time.
I'm hoping.
Oh, because that
I don't have the time to learn kanji.
Yeah,
that is. There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
that would be a weird game. Mahjong would be closer, I think. Yeah, but Mahjong, you don't need to read. You just need to match.
Yeah. But that's a Chinese game, right?
Yes.
Mahjong. Yeah.
Mahjong.
Love that.
You can play it. You can gamble. It's like it's dominoes, so sort of different. Like dominoes is actually kind of fucking intense to understand. It's not bad once you get into it, but going in, you're like, oh fuck, I don't. And there's like 20 different ways to play, 30 different ways to play. It's all over the board. I'm just like, well, can we just knock them out? No, not the. Just, that's what these little fake shitty ones are for. Really nice. Like, I'm pretty sure these are illegal because they came from a fucking elephant. These are, you just play with these. I don't want to play Mahjong.
This is an elephant kidney stone set of
Mahjong. That'd be Moncala, dice. Dude.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I just know that looking at, like, any movie that I've ever seen dominoes being played, it's like craps on steroid. There's an awful lot of money for very little action. And you can only, what? It's two ends. The most numbers that can be on there are nine.
And yet. Yeah. I will say dominoes have one of the most satisfying sounds of any game piece.
Oh, yeah.
It is such a beautiful, satisfying, good dominoes. Not fucking knock them up, set them down. Good dominoes have this amazing, heavy, beautiful, almost xylophonic sound. Very nice.
Yeah,
they're my favorite board game to listen to.
Yeah,
because they've got fucking backgammon anyway.
Well, they've got size, and I think it's because they're square, so they have more surface area as opposed to checkers, chess,
right?
The aforementioned tiddlywinks.
Chess has felt on the bottom anyway. You never get that good clunk clunk with that. Unless you're playing with a granite set. I'm playing with a granite set all the time, buddy.
And on that note,
Neil deGrasse Tyson,
if you're listening and want to explain to me what a granite set is,
come talk to us about how all of these heavy elements were forged in the furnace of a star, because, man, I'm having trouble sitting down. Seriously, though, come on by, Mr. Neil deGrasse, and kick our Neil to ass in Neil to chess. It's a lot of Neil in that one.
There is, and I'm proud of you for having strung not one Bob in there anywhere.
Neil, Bob and Neil? Bob and Neil?
Andrew Dice Clay's old joke.
Yeah.
Your name's Neil and Bob, or is that what you do? Oh! Sorry.
God damn it.
I used to
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet.
Eating the curds away.
Along came a spider and said, hey, what's in the bowl, bitch? Oh, man. Andrew Dice Clay, that was a man who had a time after which he was no longer relevant.
But he is again. He's on vinyl.
Well, he's acting. And yes, he's doing a good job.
He is doing a really good job,
like,
while we're still
shockingly
talking.
Shockingly good job.
I just want to pull this picture up to show.
Uh-oh. What are we looking at? Is it?
It's
Dice Clay.
Well, okay, it's flipping over, but it's me.
I can see things upside down.
It's me. Nice. Me at one of the campfires in the black leather doing the reach around smoke from the other side, Andrew Dice Clay move. They used to have me recite Shakespeare as Andrew Dice Clay. It was always a good time. More than I have said, loving countrymen. The leisure and enforcement of the time forbids to dwell upon. Yet remember this. I used to be able to do it.
And all like yesterday's lighted fools to dusty death. Forget about, come on. That's nice. Now, Sam Kinison doing Shakespeare would actually be very interesting.
Oh, 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 a pox on your houses. Oh, oh, oh.
He's dead. He's so dead. He died of blowing up inside and a car wreck.
Yes. And to all of our Patreon backers who are continuing to stick with us, thank you very much.
Through thick and thin,
we're going to have a poll.
We're both one of those. We're both not the other.
And we'll get some suggestions. We've got some thoughts. We're going to make this transcontinentally transcendence happen.
Hmm.
sounded much better in my head. Maybe. So, special thanks to Hawk Robinson,
Leslie Sedlak,
Todd McKimmy,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Bradley Swan,
Gordon D. Duke,
Digby Davis LLC,
Paula Moran,
Amanda Cook,
Mark Bevier,
Mike Ott,
James Herbert,
Adam Morey,
Matthew Hunt,
Mike Thompson,
Tim Martin,
Rob McLennan,
Lutta Jeb,
Laura Adams,
Tom Brophy,
Donald Evans,
Dougie Sharp.
Oh, I wish we had Justin Flatt, but we don't. It's Justin Everett.
Brittany Bentley.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
Rival Guy.
And Chad Jones. So without further ado, goodbye, everybody. Oh, they're going to kill us one day.